The following is an at-will presentation.
Angels and gods and aliens, please help me. I pray for myself and pray for my family and friends and lovers and strangers and enemies. Shine light down on them and me so I can properly see me. I pray in the name of love, just be, not this, not that, beyond definition, me.
Astrology. Logically, astrologically, a circle of animals, zodiac, whacked, fact, Leo, sun, get the job done, Aquarius, moon, swoon, Libra, rising, sizing, intellectually, capsizing, Venus in Gemini, I'm so in love with my Gemini, smack me in the face, mapped out soul space, written in the stars and stripes, Mars and Venus, broads and penis, male and female, energetically, feel this, retrograde, mercurial, retrofade, peculiar, come to my house, please, each one of them, 12, delve deep, planets, estimations of rotations, tell stories of liberation and weep and damnation, creationism, philosophical isms, after all, we are all but stardust in them, aliens. Balls of energy taking form on this planet Earth spawn elements earth, air, water, and fire take us higher and lower the medicine addicted moan. Party boy never more shown astronomer, Babylonian whore for the lights, Galileo Figaro Magnifico fights. I'm just a poor boy, nobody, somebody, everybody loves me. And she wrote it in the stars, excellence, breaking boundaries, normalizing the abnormal freely, love is blind. Blindly seeing space for people to be unapologetically their own beings. Charts, red, white, and blue, independent, fireworked. I am in my Saturn return. It works. I'm directly smack dab in the middle of my Saturn return. Relearn, burn the lessons into brain matter so it matters more. Fall in love with myself more. Marry myself, wealth, upper, middle class, lower class. Celebrate my strengths and meditate on my weaknesses in length. Pass the learnings on to you, shot to the ether so you can breathe her. Something, somebody, somewhere has a plan for each and every one of us. Where were you when you took your first breath? What day was it? Time was it? She'll tell you where you come from. Take time with it. After all, we are all but stardust. Trust, love, bombed. The Big Bang. The original love bomb.
Explosive shockwaves can cause situations such as body displacement, emotional breakthroughs, relatable flashbacks, and love.
This is a conversation with a human I love named Jennifer.
You know, I like try to keep my blinders on. So all I know about you really is your chart and that you do this very well trafficked podcast and clearly that you've performed. But I was like, I don't want to know anything.
Oh, I love that. All right. So obviously I get very excited about all of these episodes, right? That's a given. But this episode in particular, I am especially excited for. I've been thinking about having an astrologer come in and getting my chart read and sharing it with the universe, putting it out there. And this just happened really organically. And now you're here.
I'm so excited.
Amazing. So what's your name?
I'm Jennifer Rassiopi.
Okay. And how long have you been doing this work?
I've been working professionally as an astrologer, I would say, pretty full on for the last 5 years.
5 years. Mm-hmm. Okay. How did you get into it?
So my journey to astrology wasn't one which I chose. It wasn't like I was a kid growing up saying like I'd eventually want to be an astrologer. It was never a dream of mine. What happened was is that in my late teens, I had some really interesting things happen with my body. I had a cancer diagnosis. Mm-hmm. And as a consequence, I had a radical hysterectomy, which put me into menopause before I turned 20.
Oh, wow.
Which was extremely confusing for a lot of reasons. But one of the things that was so confusing about it is that I lost my hormonal rhythm. So I no longer had a period. I no longer cycled. And I had a massive identity crisis. I went through quite a bit of depression, anxiety, things of that nature. And around 2001, I met a healer in Lake Tahoe who told me that one of the things I should be doing is following the phases of the moon, syncing my life up to the phases of the moon, because encrypted in the phases of the moon is this cycle, this rhythm that's very much mirroring the feminine reproductive cycle.
Right.
So I started, and I never stopped. And that was 16 years ago, and I can say I honestly haven't missed a lunar cycle since then.
Wow.
And I think over time, just following the phases of the moon, almost like a blind person would learn to read Braille, I started tracking cycles of planets, started understanding how they're impacting me, how they're impacting my friends, started teaching, and really learned through a very experiential, applied way until a formal mentor came in my life, and she started to train me officially.
So what are we going to do today?
Yeah.
We're going to read my chart. You're going to read my chart.
Yeah, we're going to look at your chart.
And so what you need for that, you need the time I was born, the day I was born, obviously, and my location.
Yes.
Okay, and that's it.
That's it.
That's all you know about me at this point.
That's all I know about
you. Know
you.
That I got this podcast that you're on.
You got it.
And we're going to go from there.
You got it.
All right, I'm a little bit nervous.
Yeah, yeah. So what happens in astrology is that we're really looking at the moment you took your first breath. Mm-hmm. In astrology, we believe that as above, so below, and that we're all connected. And the moment we breathe in life, we're actually breathing in a really interesting, really important configuration of the solar system. For you, your birth chart looks like this.
Beautiful.
And all this is looking at where the sun, the moon was, the other major planets, as well as the constellation that was on the eastern horizon on July 30th, 1988, at 12:08 p.m. in Hoffman Estates, Illinois, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And so this tells us a lot of attributes of who you are. So do you just want me to jump in?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, cool. So there are three major things that we look at when we look at an astrology chart. The first one's obviously the sun. So most people, when they think of astrology, they think of what their sun sign is, right? Mm-hmm. It's like our horoscope. It's the part of ourselves that's most easy to identify. And so for you, you're a Leo sun. There's a natural born talent as a leader. Your sun is highly... it's placed very high in your chart, meaning it's in your 10th house. Your 10th house represents career and fame and status and ambition. It's in the sign of Leo, which has a very theatrical component to it, but also a courageous leadership component, like leading from heart. Mm. There's a sense of identity that's really interwoven in your public presence. And your sun was also very close to the planet Mercury when you were born. Mm. So Mercury represents communication, how we think, what we think about. So you have sun conjunct Mercury in your 10th house. And that's important. We'll get back to more of the nuances of that. But I want to give the full look at your chart, and then we'll dive into the specifics.
Okay.
So the sun is your core identity. It's the core part of you that most of the world sees and as you express yourself. There's also subtle aspects that come in through where the moon was and where the rising sign is. So for you, you were born right after the full moon.
Mm.
Do you have... a resonance with the full moon? Do you feel connected to the full moon?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because you're a full moon baby.
Uh-huh.
You were born just maybe a few hours after the full moon.
Really?
Yeah, maybe at most a day. But you were the moon was still very animated and full at the time of your birth, which isn't surprising. A lot of babies are born at times of full moon because full moons have strong energetic gravitational pulls and we're just floating in water, you know.
Yeah.
And so your moon is in Aquarius. It's actually, if you had waited just a little bit longer to have been born, you would have had a Pisces moon. And that's interesting because as an Aquarius moon, you have the moon represents your emotional need.
Mm-hmm.
And so as an Aquarius, there's a need for progressive, forward thinking, out of the box, humanitarian ideals.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily touchy-feely. Like Aquarius has this capacity to be in their head a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. Very theoretical, very big picture thinkers, and definitely leadership oriented, and not necessarily totally connected in the tactile touch way. Does that resonate for you? Does that come up for you?
I would say I'm pretty tactile.
Really?
Actually, yeah. I definitely spend a lot of time in my head. Mm-hmm. Probably I'm less touchy-feely than I think other people would like me to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that I make a lot of things with my hands, and represent a lot of myself with
your
things
hand.
That I make.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean emotionally.
Yeah, emotionally for sure.
Slightly aloof.
Yes.
Yeah, that's where I'm going with that. So your moon is your deeper emotional need. It's in many ways could represent your mom's disposition, how she was with you. It doesn't always express that way. You know, sometimes we look at the sun as an expression of the dad and the moon as an expression with the mom mm-hmm. or the internalized masculine and the feminine. We can also look at Saturn to represent the parents. But, you know, sun opposite moon, you have this Leo sun, this Aquarius moon, and it's a very progressive orientation, meaning that you're really here to change things for humanity, make mm. things different, shake things up, do things differently. It's not a status quo moon. Mm. And if you had been born just a few minutes later, you honestly would have been a Pisces moon, and that would have been extremely spiritual, very empathetic, very intuitive, but maybe not as
forward thinking.
Yeah. Okay. You got it. You got it. And so the constellation that was on the eastern horizon the moment you took your first breath is known as your rising sign. And you are a Libra rising.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So Libra rising is actually a really fun rising sign because it tells a story around relationship, harmony, balance, fairness, justice. And when we look at a rising sign, we're looking at, I believe, the rising sign is what are we rising to? What are we becoming? It's known as the ascendant. So where are we ascending in our lives? Many astrologers will read it as how does the world perceive you? What's the mask you show to the world? I'm less interested in your mask. I'm more interested in your soul. Mm. So I look at it as more of a soul's calling. So for you, with a 21-degree Libra rising, relationship is everything. Mm. It's a powerful motivator in your life. Balance, harmony, being in just, fair. These sorts of attributes are key values expressed through Libra rising. And more importantly, what the rising sign does is it sets the houses. So in astrology, there's 12 houses. They all have different influences. And when we know the rising sign, as we will when we know the exact moment of your birth, as well as the location, it just sets up the house system so we can get a really accurate reading. Hmm. So I would just say that, you know, just to give you the beginning level of your chart, just to repeat the basics, sun in Leo, moon in Aquarius, and Libra rising.
Hmm.
Yeah. So okay. What about that resonates or feels interesting?
I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head with a lot of the Leo attributes. Definitely the emotional intimacy issues I may have. And I would definitely agree with the relationship aspect that it is my driving force. I don't know if I'm great at it, but it means a lot to me.
Yeah. It also means, remember, rising sign, what are you rising to? What are you becoming? What's your soul's purpose? And so it's a quest this lifetime to get the mirrored self, right? To get how we're all connected and that what I see in you is actually a reflection of me and what you see in me is actually a reflection of you. And consequently, we're both the same, even though we're going to express ourselves through different facets of our personality. At our core, there's a connectivity that can't be denied. And so a Libra rising has this almost life's mission around doing things in partnership. Doesn't mean it's always easy. It doesn't mean that it's our natural gift. It just means that it's a driving force in our lives to do things that reflect the mirrored other and to get down to partnership. I would also say for you, collaborations are huge. Mm-hmm. Doing things in partnership and collaboration. Even though you have a really fierce independent side to you, it's so important for you to also be in core. Even like having a housekeeper, someone who can come and like organize the home is like a nice thing because it just helps you get things done in partnership, leveraging other people's talents and strengths in a way that maybe aren't your specific go-tos. But I get the sense you're pretty, you have an organizational tact too.
I do, much so, yeah.
Yeah. Aquarius moon tends to be pretty...
I'm a little OCD at times.
Yeah, I was going to say a little bit anal.
Well, that too.
So anyway, you're going through this really exciting time. When I got the call and did your chart and looked at it, I was like, oh, well, he's going through these a couple really huge transits in his life right now that are actually pretty quintessential, almost cliche. The first one is your Saturn return. Mm. So Saturn represents so much of your purpose this lifetime, what you're really here to do. And when we have our Saturn return at around 29, it happens 28, 29, 30, Saturn returns to the place it was the moment we took our first breath. So everyone's familiar with the concept of a birthday, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we all celebrate our birthdays, or at least if we don't celebrate them, we're aware that birthdays exist. And that is the most
recognizable.
Yeah, astrological yeah. influence. And it's when the sun returns to the place it was the moment we took our first breath. So we celebrate our rebirth. Mm-hmm. But every other planet in your chart is going to have a return for the most part mm-hmm. as well. Except for the really distant outer planets. So you're going through this time where Saturn's having its return. So you're having a Saturnian birthday.
Hmm.
So
what the fuck is a Saturnian birthday?
So this is the time in your life where shit should be falling, like getting heavy, feeling really intense. Like you have a lot of really big decisions around who you are as a human being. What do you want? What's serving you? What's not serving you? And it's this time in our lives where we have to reconcile who have we become based on who we were told to be, taught to be, contrived to be, versus who are we really?
Mm-hmm.
And the extent that we've strayed to some degree is the extent of the intensity of our Saturn return. Mm-hmm. So at this time, I don't know if you have other friends who are your age.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a theme amongst your friends around big decisions, maybe breakups or breakthroughs, big job changes, big moves?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so my experience when I went through my Saturn return was that was like another time where I really was like, this astrology stuff is so real. It's because it wasn't just me. It was my class.
Yeah.
You know, it was like all of us. We were in this moment together around figuring out what it is we want. So there's this quintessential aspect of you really needing to make some big, heavy decisions. So when I look at your dates, the first transit of your Saturn return actually just happened.
Mm.
It was February 27th.
Mm.
So was there something that happened in your life around February 27th that feels pivotal?
Well, I decided to go do a movie
mm-hmm.
And spent a month in Vancouver and was doing some work with a few different shamans out in Vancouver.
Any life-defining insights that came through with that shamanic work or the creative project?
Yeah. There was like a sense of calm
mm-hmm.
that was happening
mm-hmm.
And a commitment to my my ultimate purpose here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you get it. So there was this going deep of peeling back the layer and understanding
mm-hmm.
a purpose that you were then committing to yourself to. So the interesting thing about your Saturn return is that you're really just in the middle of it right
mm-hmm.
now. So there's going to be three times. That's because Saturn's in a retrograde transit right now, which for people who don't understand astrology and don't even know what I'm talking about, the planets have patterns where they move forward and then they kind of move back, and it's based on how they transit in the sky. And so right now Saturn is doing a little bit of a backwards journey, and we're going to actually see a resurgence of maybe those same principles coming up May 14th.
Mm.
Next
week.
Yeah, very.
This weekend.
Yep, very close to now, Sunday. I think it's Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
There's Saturn's having its second touchdown in your chart, and it's, I would say, a reminder, a time mm-hmm. to check in, to recommit to that life's purpose, to understand what is blocking it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you say you want this, what's universe
holding me back?
What's the curveball?
Yeah.
You know, what's the universe throwing your way to test you? Because mm-hmm. these transits will test you to some degree. And then it completes November 20th, 2017.
Okay.
So really between now and November, it's almost like you're marrying yourself.
Mm.
You're making a commitment to your truth of who you are, what you want, what you stand for, and your Saturn's returning in the sign of Sagittarius. So I kind of skipped over your chart. I gave you the sun, the moon, and the rising, then I went into this heavy transit. So let's go back to who you are, shall
okay.
we?
Yeah.
At your core level. Because your Saturn's in Sagittarius, which tells me that your life purpose is about out-of-the-box, big-picture thinking, adventure, travel. There's no boundary for where you're supposed to go this lifetime, and you're supposed to push every boundary there is, and you expressing yourself in an ingenuity, sort of different, avant-garde, expressive way where you break the rules, you push back on systems, and you do it in a way that's abrupt, but to the point, and I would say is disruptive to maybe some of your early childhood conditioning,
mm-hmm.
sibling relationships.
Yeah, for
how
sure.
are they?
Best friends
mm-hmm.
most of the time, but it's very confrontational.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would say that I am not the easiest older brother to have because of the success that I've had.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like he probably my younger brother probably lives in my shadow some. So that's difficult for him, but I like to think that I'm nothing but a
Great brother.
Yeah, great brother.
So being a brother, because Saturn for you is in your third house. Third house represents early childhood development, sibling relationships. It's also about communication, which I'll get to in a moment. Being an older brother, actually so much of who you are is expressed in that relationship. Mm-hmm. And I would say that that's a really important place for you to be a leader, for you to step up, reach out to him, see how he's doing, ask him questions, being inviting to him in terms of getting to intimately know you, the inner workings of where you are. The inner workings of where he is, because there's something really beautiful around that relationship that is aspected in your chart around being able to grow through it. But there's more to say about this as well. Aside from the sibling relationships, what are you writing?
Oh, I write all the time.
But so are you currently in the process of something now?
I write poetry for the show nonstop. There's an idea for a book in the works.
That's what I think I'm getting at. So writing for you is huge.
Mm.
Writing for you is so huge. It's so huge for you for many reasons. Remember, going back to you have Sun in Leo, Leo being leader. Leo's at the top of your chart. It's the most expressed version of who you are. It's theatrical. There's a presentation to it. There's a performance element to it here. And then we add Mercury to it, too. And so that's extremely articulate, the ability to write, the ability to speak, the ability to get things done. And so, you know, Mercury and the Sun, they travel pretty close together in the sky just by virtue. Like, Mercury can never go really that far away from the Sun just because it travels so close to the Sun. So Mercury conjunct the Sun actually in and of itself isn't that rare. But Mercury conjunct the Sun in the 10th house of fame is particularly potent, especially when the third house, which rules communication, has Saturn. So I'm talking in astrology. Let me put it in English. The English here is that you have a purpose around writing, and something's coming into being right now in your life that's supposed to be pivotal around where you're going next with your career that really requires you to do a lot of work. Mm. So poetry, I think, is challenging for you in some ways. I also think it's effortless for you in others. And so I'm talking about something that's going to actually push you into the hermit space just a little bit.
Mm.
So you have to dig deep, get to your truth, and create a message that requires you to push yourself to deliver on this natal promise you have, which is Saturn, planet of discipline, structure, life purpose, in Sagittarius, which is big picture philosophy. It's religion. It's politics. It's the quest and the thirst for knowledge. It's greatness, right? Like Sagittarius is ruled by Jupiter. Jupiter's the biggest planet in the solar system. So it's all about wisdom and growth. And so with this placement in your chart, and particularly with this transit going through right now, I think you need to make a lot of space in your life to go deep into the heart and the core of your truth to actually create something that's completely your own, even though I talked a lot about collaboration, in a way that is almost like your thesis.
Mm. My manifesto.
You got it. But in more than just a manifesto, something that's relatable.
Yeah.
And going to make good on these other aspects of your chart, which is about progressive forward thinking, political impact. So that's your Saturn return. And then that's your Saturn in your natal chart. Interestingly enough, astrology is just so many layers that we can peel back. There's something going on in your chart around love, and I understand that the podcast here is Love Bomb, so yes. clearly there's something. but if I'm just to look at your, I don't know you.
Give me the goods.
I purposely didn't figure out who you were so I could be really just by the chart. And so there's the sense in your natal chart that Venus, who rules love and our expression of love, is in this really interesting place in your chart. Venus is in Gemini. Mm. Gemini is an air sign. It's known for versatility. It has a little bit of a come here, go away aspect to it in that it needs a lot of variety. Yeah, a lot of variety. And interestingly enough, in your natal chart, Saturn, this planet of discipline and structure, is in a really almost difficult aspect with Venus saying, this lifetime, we're going to break down Venus. We're going to recreate Venus because you have something to say about that. And so Venus opposite your Sun, Venus opposite another planet that I'm not really going to explain too much because I would overwhelm your listeners, Uranus, which is the planet of revolution, breakthrough, change, in your natal chart, is a really potent conversation for you to be having around what. It's like pushing up against the normative values of love, pushing up against the normative values of how we should express our ability to love, our ability to be in relationship, our ability to be connected, so that they're going back to your Aquarius moon, is there's this humanitarian aspect, this breakdown of old ways to give birth to new form. And ultimately, what I would say, what you're here to do, if I was just to bottom line your chart, you're here to give people permission to be fucking free. And like, that's what this is about. And so there are different ways to come at this in your chart. There are different ways to look at the challenges you were born with, because you have a chart of luck, and you also have a chart. You've been through some shit.
Yeah.
I mean, the psychological penetration of where you've gone in your lifetime is well beyond your years. Like, you've had to look things in the eye, tear them apart, and there's this shamanic capacity of which your own ego has been annihilated. Like, you've been taken to the depths of your own shadow to find your truth, your essence, your higher calling, to stand up, to step up. It's almost like we live through what we teach. And so you have this aspect, you were born with it, it was the exact moment of your chart where there were some really intense energy saying, like, this lifetime you chose. I think we choose our birth time. I think, like, we have a purpose, we have a script, we have a time in which we're meant to be born. And for you, it was like, I'm coming with this, like, fun Leo thing. Leo Libra, Aquarius, it's like party all the time, you know? It's like Leo's like on the dance floor, hands up. Libra's like making friends with everyone, and Aquarius is like, let's just get weird, right?
Totally.
Like, so that's your basic formula. But then you came in with this other thing where you're like, and we're going to get to business. And we're going to look at this. We're going to look at how we express the normative values of what we're ought to do this lifetime and make some changes.
Right.
And I'm personally going to take the poison first. So I'm personally going to be the one, I'm going to teach by learning, right? So I'm coming in, it's going to be a party for sure. And I'm going to have to look at some issues that are deeply psychological, penetrating, and they're, you know, they're part, it's part of my life script. And I would imagine that that is part of your empathy, part of your ability to put yourself in the shoes of others, part of your ability to relate. And if you do that even more, this Libra rising thing is going to get way easier for you. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
What about that resonates, or do you have questions?
Oh, my God. I mean, so much of it. I've been sober now from alcohol for 2.5 years.
That's a great thing.
Yeah, that was probably the biggest turning point in my life. But to say that I took the poison first, like, definitely did. Full party, full got weird, like, did everything that I possibly could. I think in the back of my mind, like, I really knew that I needed to go all the way to be able to fully open up towards other people. I needed to, like, get dirty to clean up. I needed to toxify to detoxify.
Yeah, I just want to jump in and clarify one thing. Sometimes when we're on an addictive bender, we're really just searching for a spiritual expression.
Right?
It's like the addiction and the limitless search for the next thing, the next high, the next craze, or the next experience is really about searching for a universal truth. Was that part of it for you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, for so long, it was my direct connection to spirituality. Yeah. It was the only way that I was feeling something. And then after a while, I was feeling nothing. And it just, you know, it became like I realized it was the full blockage. And the only way I was going to get to the next level was if I let it go. And once that happened, it's when I really found myself and then found what my real purpose in life was. And a year later, this podcast came. I mean, there were a bunch of projects that happened right from the beginning of, like, who is Nico? How am I going to turn it upside down and share it with the world so I can, in one way or another, affect positive change?
Yeah.
And that's what this podcast is, you know? I mean, this podcast is the love bomb, and I have people come in every episode and we talk about their own versions of love, how they identify gender, sexuality, relationships, what love means to them. And it's really like I create the space for people to be unapologetically themselves and to share that with the world and to put it into the universe.
It's so good. It's like that's what this is. So let me just show you. It's all these crazy lines. But if we look, that's Saturn conjunct Uranus. Saturn's discipline, structure. Uranus is wild revolution and change, opposing Venus. So you're staring it down. Like, when you were born, you were like, I've got this intense mission in Sagittarius, which is bottomless exploration. staring down this Venus in Gemini, which is all about freedom, flirty freedom, being able to do whatever you want, express mm-hmm. yourself, but it's intense, right?
Yeah.
And then here's the, like when I was saying you were born, you had to take the poison first, there's your sun all happy at the top of your chart, like, woohoo, I'm here to be seen, it's going to be go good. But then it's like, this is Pluto. Mm. Pluto's intense. He brings you to your shadow, and he's exactly squaring your sun the moment you took your first breath, which means that you have to take some deep psychological looks at yourself. You were never going to get off the hook just being like, I'm the party boy in life. Some people have that contract.
Right.
Quite honestly, addiction's not a problem for everybody. Some people can play in the world of drugs and alcohol and be doing their soul's contract without repercussions to some degree. I'm not like, this isn't saying like there's a permission slip out there.
Right. But you can see in my chart that that was never going to be for me.
If you don't do the psychological work with Pluto squaring your sun, life gets really hard. It gets nasty.
Yeah.
And you have too many fun aspects in your chart to blow it. Mm-hmm. Meaning, like, you can have a lot of fun just doing the work mm-hmm. without the whole episode of letting your ego take the ball and run. Mm-hmm. And so your ego needed death.
Yeah.
And your ego needed some sort of boundary.
Do you think like my ego in the future will keep dying and be reborn again? That's up to me.
So that's the thing, is you have to keep doing the work,
right,
you know?
Yeah.
It's not like there's like a one and done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I healed myself from cancer, it wasn't like I healed myself from cancer and I never have to worry about getting cancer
right,
again.
Right.
You know, like I have to stay on that. I can't go smoke a pack of cigarettes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like it's just these things aren't for me.
Right.
So there's a sense of needing to do the contract.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I think that as long as you're expressing yourself, giving yourself permission to break out, be free, do things different, push against norms, you're going to do well. You're also in another really important phase in your life. So you have Saturn return, which is like quintessential. Who am I? What do I need? What do I need to shed? Where do I need to get focused and serious? It sounds like you had echoes of your Saturn return before your Saturn return mm-hmm. in your quest to become sober.
Mm-hmm.
And now Jupiter, the planet of good luck, good fortune, and abundance, is going over your rising sign.
Hmm.
So exactly, that will happen August 28th this year. So August 28th, 2017, we're resetting what's possible. You're restarting the abundance in your chart. You're resetting it. So it happens every 12 years that Jupiter's going to go over your rising sign. And it's every 12 years you have your Jupiter return, but every 30 years, every 12 years Jupiter goes over your rising sign. I'm sorry, I'm like getting confused. But hasn't happened recently, and it's restarting. So Jupiter's going to come over your rising sign, move into your first house of personal identity. There's going to be a lot of opportunities for you right around the corner, and you have to get strategic on what you want to do.
Okay.
Yeah, you have to choose because there are two downsides to Jupiter coming over your rising sign. One, Jupiter expands everything,
mm-hmm.
so you can gain weight.
Hmm.
You know, like that's the time where it's easier to gain weight,
mm-hmm.
Which I don't think is a big deal. But some people come to me and they're like, why can't I lose the weight? And I'm like, well, Jupiter's on your rising sign. And then the other thing is that you can overcommit yourself
yeah.
because you're going to have a lot of opportunities. All opportunities are not created equal.
Right.
And so there's discernment that really needs to come out to be very clear on, does this move my purpose forward? Am I doing this for money? Am I doing this for acclaim? Or am I doing this because this is really, really deeply intertwined in my soul's mission, purpose, and my deeper values? And how do I decipher, right? How do I make the decision? And that's going back to that conversation around dissolving ego. And that's a skill you've developed.
Yeah, working on it.
Which is really hard for Leo.
Really, really difficult. And I've met a handful of people that constantly challenge me on it. And yeah, it's definitely not the easiest thing.
Do you meditate?
I do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Consistently?
Not as much as I probably should.
It would help.
Yeah.
It would help. You know, the challenge, I would say here are some things for you to work on. The consistency with the meditation is really important. With the Aquarius moon, there's a tendency for you to, and certainly with Venus and Gemini too, for you to be out of touch with what you're feeling in the moment.
Totally.
And then it catches up to you, and it may catch up through like, oh, I'm being passive aggressive. Why? Right? Like, I don't even know why I'm annoying. I'm just suddenly annoyed. This person's annoying me.
Right.
And it's because you stop tracking.
Well, I think I have this, I was just talking about this the other night. I have this ability, like, when I'm in a relationship with somebody or, you know, even a friend or a family member, like when you have my full attention, like I am fully 100% there and like all you have all of me, full explosion, but I have the tendency of just flipping that switch and just like turning off. And like, as good as it feels when you have it is as bad as it feels when I'm not there. And I could be sitting in a room with you for, I could be spending days with you, and like I'm there, I'm able to have conversation with you, but I'm just not emotionally available to that person.
Well, you're not emotionally available to yourself.
Right.
And that's the thing, is that you burn yourself out without realizing, like, oh, I actually need to take a step back because I'm going to blame you, right, in a moment that I haven't had a chance.
Yeah.
And that's actually my responsibility. So one of the shadow sides of Libra rising is a little bit of codependency, mm-hmm, right, totally. Of not knowing when's enough. Mm-hmm. Like, I actually don't have resources here to give you right now.
Right.
But I'm going overdrive for you.
Interesting.
And then I'm going to check out, right. And that's going to hurt you, and it's going to confuse me, and we're mm-hmm. going to get into this, like, who knows what. It's mm-hmm. just going to be icky.
Yeah.
As opposed to saying, like, you know,
I need to recharge for a minute and then you can come back.
Yeah. And so let's talk about why it's hard for you to recharge, because that's something else in your chart.
Okay.
So in astrology, there's four elements: earth, air, fire, and water. And they're pretty common sense. Like, earth is our ability to be grounded and practical and like really routine. Air is our intellectual capacity. It's our ability to articulate, communicate. Fire's our passion, our physical passion, and water's our emotional capacity. Mm-hmm. And you almost have no earth in your chart.
Really?
Like, you are full of fire.
Yeah, so much.
Lots of passion. Your air's off the charts, like really rip-roaring, smart, articulate, to the point, great vocabulary. Like, there are certain aspects that, like, air brings that you have, piercing insights. Mm-hmm. The emotional capacity isn't as strong in terms of the air and the fire. Like, those are your dominant.
Air and fire.
Air and fire. Mm-hmm. And we think about air feeds fire. Right. So there's this.
They could also blow it out, too, though.
Really exciting thing. And that could also be addiction, you know?
Mm, yeah.
Air and fire. It's like, how big can we get the flame?
Right.
And then, but the water is there as well.
I have, like, a huge, I wouldn't say fear of water, but I have an aversion to water. I don't like spending time in water. I love looking at it. I love being next to water. I live on the water, and my favorite thing, like, I've lived on the water a handful of times in my life. I love looking at it. But the thought of going in, even a bathtub, hot tub, swimming pool, like, I just hate the water.
It's your medicine. You need to take baths.
Really?
Yes. It's almost the full moon. You're a full moon baby. The moon rules your career, by the way.
Okay.
Tapping into lunar cycles is massively awesome for you. Mm-hmm. I would take full moon baths, just one a month. Like, okay. When the moon is full, it's like going back into the womb. And it's just reacclimating with the part of you that can be still, even though the water's kind of shifting. Or you could add Epsom salts into it and make it really, really salty. Mm-hmm. And that's wonderful, because your body's going to absorb all this magnesium. It's going to calm the nervous system. But ultimately, it's just that salt, like, clears the energetic vibrations around us, and it's very detoxifying. But if it's scary to you, you have to do it. Don't run from it.
Okay.
Yeah, because your career, so in astrology, we look to this thing called your midheaven to tell us more about your career. Your career's in Cancer, even though you have a Leo 10th house. There's a lot of Leo in your career for sure, but your actual midheaven is ruled by Cancer. Cancer's the mother, it's the nurturing, it's water, and it's ruled by the moon. And so the moon is all about emotions. So for you, getting in touch with your emotions is so important. And being in water may just bring things up for you that are frightening, scary, connecting you to a more, I don't know if you relate to, like, binary gender definitions, but like a more feminine space.
Yeah, I mean, I work in my feminine space all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, gender identity is a huge part of this podcast, right? And really my life work and the spectrum in between.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm definitely I would say I'm more in touch with my feminine energy than I am with my masculine energy, actually.
Yeah, and so then the water exercise is just a form of therapy, right? It's just bringing it up, bringing it out. It's an expressive thing, and it's highly attuned. So I'll just show you on your chart so you see what I'm talking about. See that MC up top?
Mm-hmm.
That's your midheaven. And the squiggle line over there, that's Cancer. So this is the the most public part of your whole chart. It's like part of what you're here to do is Cancerian. Mm. Cancerian is the archetypal mother. Mm. It is the fertile, feminine experience, but it's moody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Cancer's moody because it's changing with, you know, it's ruled by the moon. It's moody. And then also it's very security driven. Like, I want security. I need to have security, not because I personally need it, but because I want to provide for others. Mm. And I want my people's abundance to have abundance.
Yeah.
So there's that drive to want things to feel very secure. And that can be the shadow side, because there can be a fixation mm-hmm. on security.
You're protecting people.
And you got it. You got it. It's fierce. And Libra, too, is also very fierce. It's understated in Libra. Libra is more known for justice, balance, relationship. But if we really get to know Libra, too, it's cardinal. So meaning it initiates a season. It brings in a season. It makes things happen. Libras are fierce about those they love as well. So there's certainly some fierceness here. But just coming back to the elements, so you have your water at the top of your chart, mm-hmm. your Pluto's in water, your north node, this signifies one of your highest destinies and where you, some of your karma this lifetime is in Pisces. So it's all about getting to that collective unity, that collective oneness, which is why meditation for you is the secret sauce to helping you really develop. And that's also in Pisces. So that's water. But, you know, so you have more
I have
water.
No earth is what we're saying.
You just have one planet. You have Neptune in a particular position that is, yeah, no. You like, it's like, yeah, yeah, it's very small. So coming back to recharging.
Yeah.
it's really about doing the practical things that take care of you. So eating well, eating three meals a day, sleeping regularly, mm-hmm. having, you know, an organized home, even though you have that Aquarius moon, and I'm sure you're quite particular in some ways. There's that routine of getting things situated that
every day.
And it's so important to you. Mm-hmm. But when we come back to preserving your energy and energy management, particularly in relationships, because you're such a relationship person, giving space for quiet in conversation isn't a terrible thing, right? Like, creating that space where it's just like we can just be without being intense.
Being alone together.
Yes.
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 It's my favorite thing in the world.
So you got that.
Yeah.
Yes. That's really important because you don't have to provide.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like you have to provide for a lot of people?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
How does that show up for you?
I feel like I protect a lot of the people that I spend time with.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to give a lot of energy to make sure that they are okay in one way or another. I think I build a lot of the people up around me. I'm in a relationship right now that we're kind of at like an interesting crossroads, I would say, where I provide a lot of myself. And I have said recently that like if this relationship is going to move forward, I see it like moving to a more free relationship than more serious.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I'm going to be the best partner. I'm going to need more time apart, maybe open up the relationship to see other people. Like that is, I've been in way too many relationships where I sacrifice that part of me and I give all of me to one person. And it's just, that's just at my core, not who I believe I am.
How are you at receiving?
Probably not good.
Mm-hmm. And why? What blocks you from receiving?
I don't know, to be honest with you. I've never had my heart broken. I would say that a lot of people have been, I mean, this is going to sound annoying, but like a lot of people fall in love with me very quickly. And like, I feel responsibility for that. And I have these like really intense, somewhat temporary relationships and I push them away.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I feel like this lesson keeps coming back to me over and over and over again. And I kind of keep handling it the same way. I'm getting better at communicating who I am and what I want. But I provide so much for myself that I don't necessarily need it from another person all the time, which is probably why I have a hard time receiving.
Do you let your brother in, like, to really be there for you?
My brother is not there for me at all.
Got it. Hey, that I think that's going to change. So you have there's a lot going on in your house with your siblings. That's why I asked. Mm. And even the Saturn return is in your house that affects your siblings. Mm. So it doesn't surprise me that your brother's going through a hard time. But I ultimately think that there's a dynamic of reciprocity that can open up there, mm-hmm. where you don't have to feel like I'm the alpha. I'm the one who has it together. I'm here for you.
Yeah.
But you're never there for me. Mm-hmm. Therefore, I'm used to this one-sidedness in relationship. That's not really true.
No, it's not at all.
It's just my dynamic.
Right.
And so working on that in other areas of your life that are more historical, more long-term, is probably a great way to enter into that conversation of not feeling like I've got to pour all the gasoline on the fire, mm-hmm. blow out the fire, and then run, because I don't know how to actually... These are my words, not yours, actually get my needs met in reciprocity unless I cut ties or unless I burn something and go on to the next thing. And that's a challenge. You know, you're young. You've got a life of relationships ahead of you.
Well, I mean, you even said it, this variety, right?
Like, yeah, yeah.
I mean, I would say I'm most comfortable today with how I identify and, like, this variety that I have in my life. I have dated across the spectrum of gender, sexuality, age, race. Like, there really is, like, I do not have a
love
type.
Love is blind.
Love
yeah.
is completely blind for me.
Yeah. Aquarius moon.
And in my chart, it shows that I have a life full of relationships. Is that what you're saying?
Well, Venus in Gemini is not necessarily totally settled down.
Okay.
And people come to me and they say, like, I have Venus in Gemini, I just want monogamy. Is it possible? So I don't, for all you out there with Venus in Gemini or hear Venus in Gemini and you think, like, that's a life of non-monogamy, it may or may not be. But what I will say is that for you, you're not here to do the status quo. Mm. And that's not for all Venus in Geminis. It's just for you particular, because your Venus is aspected in such a way where you feel pressure. It needs freedom. It needs flexibility. There's nothing wrong with having mature relationships that are both open and abundant and deeply intimate. Where I'm concerned, and I would just want you to, like, dig a little deeper, is not what does the relationship look like, what are the terms of the relationship, is how much intimacy can I really receive? Yes. How much intimacy can I let in? Not how much intimacy can I provide? Hmm. Not how much safety can I give you? Not how much security and validation can I offer you? But together, can we co-create where I'm also nourished too? Hmm. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I would. It's not about the volume of relationships. It's not about the definition of the relationship. It's about the depth of the intimacy while in the relationship, from the ability to receive.
Hmm. Are you saying that, like, I may be a little bit closed off to receive because I take on too much?
Nope.
No, not that.
No, I don't think that you take on too much. I think that
responsibility, like, take on too much responsibility for the other person.
Well, I think that you're used to being the giver.
Right.
And so for you to be the receiver is vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
What comes up for you as I say that?
I don't know, a handful of things. I'm a lot more comfortable being the alpha giver than I am receiving. Yeah.
It's just something to play with.
Yeah.
You know, is my need, because coming back to the burnout, that's why we're talking about this,
right.
is like, how do you maintain your energy and your stamina without needing to feel like I've got to run to recover?
Mm-hmm.
So you can recover without
hurting other people.
Others.
Yeah.
It's around letting your well get full and not always – what's the right metaphor? What's the right way of saying this? It's about recovering energy without needing to distance yourself and do it on your own and then come back, right? And I'm just sensing that there are ways for you to do that in the container of the sacred connection. And then still, you need your freedom. You need your space.
Of course.
There's nothing wrong with it, right?
My favorite time in the world is when I'm alone.
Yeah.
For sure.
There's nothing wrong with it. And at Libra Rising, you're going to learn this life how to be a master at this.
Hmm.
It's part of this whole thing. It's part of this whole setup. So where you are seeing, oh, I like do this thing, or I could do this better, or maybe I would, my needs would be more met if I allowed for this to come through. You know, these are just ways for you to look at what's the nuance here that's holding me back. Hmm. That's not the other person's fault.
Right. It's not. Yeah.
And take responsibility.
Mm-hmm. I think that, like, actually that is happening right now. And that could be a lot of the Saturn return, right?
You got it. And Jupiter. And Jupiter, because Jupiter is in Libra, and he's coming over your rising sign. He's expanding your ability to be in relationship. Mm. And that is happening now for sure. And it will culminate more this summer. Mm. So do you have questions about any of this?
This August 28th, is that what you said? 24th? Yeah. August 24th?
August 28th.
August 28th. This is surrounding career, you said?
Yep. So Jupiter to your rising sign is an expansion of notoriety. It's an expansion of sense of self. And Jupiter's going to be in your first house of identity for a long time. Mm. So it's not like a one and done. It's an initiation of a next phase, next stage of life. There is something else happening right before that I did put in my notes to explain to you, if that's okay.
Yeah, please.
So on August 21st.
Mm-hmm. My mom's birthday.
Really?
Uh-huh.
We're having a total solar eclipse.
Really?
Yeah. And it's going to happen in the sign of Leo, but it's not going to impact your sun sign as much. But it happens directly opposite of your moon, meaning that the moon and the sun are going to join in the sky at the exact same degree, 29 degrees Leo. And that is a new... There's a lot that could be said around that, right? The globally, politically, there's a lot that can go down this summer, mm-hmm. with this eclipse and the eclipse season and where we're at. And a lot of it, I'm hoping for some positive, but really, who knows, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And yet this eclipse is happening in your chart, in your 10th house of career, mm-hmm. and fame, where there's new openings, new beginnings,
mm-hmm.
directly opposite of your moon. So eclipses, by definition, are unpredictable. So there's no true prediction as like, oh, this is going to mean that. Mm-hmm. Because they're wild cards. They happen, you know, in 18, 19-year cycles, and they impact our charts in certain ways. But I will say my advice to you for that time is to, if something feels triggered or charged, take a step back,
okay.
before reacting.
Mm.
Because I think that there's new opportunities coming through with your career because you're having that new moon eclipse, that solar eclipse in your 10th house, right when Jupiter's coming over your rising sign. But there's an emotional tension that's surrounding it, mm. that I want you to be really grounded,
okay.
to the earth,
yeah.
of patience, and take a step back rather than having to have an immediate response, because the response will be long lasting, mm-hmm. and you want to make sure it's well thought through. Ultimately, it's positive,
okay.
right? Ultimately, this is like breakthrough. This is next level success. This is big stuff. It's happening right when you're finishing the Saturn return. So a huge emotional growth spurt where you're growing into this next dimension of your maturity. Jupiter's coming over your rising sign, which is like, dude, you're going to have way more opportunities than you can commit to. And so you have to choose. The new moon solar eclipse in your 10th house of fame is like expansion and growth. And yet there may just be this moment where it's it's a lot at once, mm-hmm. almost. And so my best advice to you is to take really good care of yourself. Great self-care practices, mm-hmm. ground down, tap in, tune in, and don't react.
Okay.
Do your meditation, give yourself lots of space. And it's also interesting that it's your mom's birthday,
mm-hmm.
because it's going to be a really important year for her, mm-hmm. since she's having the eclipse on her solar return. I mean, on her birthday, the solar, mm-hmm. return, her birthday is the eclipse day. So this year for her is a big deal.
Mm-hmm. That, from that year,
yep.
moving forward.
Yeah, it's a monumental year for her.
Mm-hmm.
Big birthday.
Amazing.
Yeah, yeah. And then this Venus moon thing is super productive and helpful. And let's just get back to the basics, right? Looking
right.
at your chart, your basics, your sun in Leo, Libra rising, Aquarius moon, Leo, playtime, expression, Libra, art, beauty, relationships, style, sophistication, mm. Aquarius, groups, different, forward thinking, progressive energy, make shit happen, like push up against status quo and commonality and be unique, artist.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the sense of like, that's your core ingredients. And then, mm. when we look at how they're aspected, there's a lot of support here. There's also challenge. So that's, and that's a good thing, like
yeah.
I said, but there's a ton of support here.
Mm. All right, I think we should close this off
yeah.
on the show is the Love Bomb, right? And this this search for like the definition of love, or this search for like, why is this the most important thing to all of us? Why is this the driving force for so many of us? That makes sense on my chart that I'm doing this work, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And like, where do you where does it look like I'm going from here with that search for love? Like, is Venus all just give it to me good?
Well, I would say that really you're in this time in your life right now where you're making massive decisions, and you have to. So this is about you grounding down, deciding. I think ultimately you're going to get a couple of big opportunities coming right around the corner, if you haven't already, that are going to require you to get very disciplined. I think further you need to write and own your philosophy in a way that positions you even more public with you, with your thoughts, because here's the deal. We're at this time where things are so it's like I feel like we're in the upside down of like okay. of Stranger Things right now politically, right? Mm-hmm. Like we're in a time where things are rough out there. Mm-hmm. If you're of a progressive forward thinking
yes,
mindset, things
course.
Are really weird. And so at the same time, there's like this need, this rise, this culmination of where are we going, who are our leaders, and how are we going to bridge the gap, right? So we're not in culture wars, but yet we're moving towards a more inclusive, all-encompassing society mm-hmm. that gives people space to be themselves, and there's jobs and money and resources, and we're not killing the earth and the planet. We're not pillaging and pilfering to get there. Mm. And so you, born July 30th, 1988, are young as fuck. There's a long life ahead of you where you're just now finding your voice.
Yeah, totally.
You're finding your voice. You're playing with your voice. Like, these are my topics. This is my range. This is what gets me going. This is what my audience is responding to. Oh, they like this. We'll do more. This is needed. And then there's going to be this convergence, which actually I don't really think is that too far off, where the conversation develops enough momentum where the platform gets bigger, the reach gets bigger, and the work gets harder, meaning you're going to need to do the work
for sure.
to continue to look at yourself, to right. continue to, I mean, what's the ego motivation here? What's the truth? The discernment factor. I love the fact that you spent your Saturn return with a shaman or doing that deeper soul work with some wisdom and some guidance to help you really look at the essence of truth.
Yeah.
And if you stay on that path, I always say, like, astrology, there's a range of choices. Like, we can do our chart at the victim level. We can do our chart at the perfume level.
Right.
And there's a lot of the in-between. And to really do it at the perfume level, which for you, I would say there's continued leadership, continued voice, mass movement around inclusivity and redefinition of what love is in the binary either or continuum, and rather expression and freedom. And really, let's just be clear, destigmatizing the practice and act of loving.
Yeah.
And
I mean, that's literally my sole purpose.
You got it. Like, yeah. Destigmatizing. It's like you can love however you want, but nothing's better or worse.
Right?
And to give people permission to be free, to experience. Every chart is different. So we all have a different configuration. You know, like, how many people are there out there? There's that many definitions of what love's going to look like. Mm-hmm. And going back to even my story, you know, like, I had cancer because I didn't have freedom necessarily to be the full expression of who I was. Mm. And that manifested in a way where my body, my reproductive organs rejected themselves and I had disease, right? That's a minor story in the epic of history of people who've had to contort themselves to fit in, be accepted, and do damage to themselves in the process. Mm-hmm. And so I just see your voice, your contribution, this podcast, and everything else beyond this, from the book, the maybe even a TV show.
We're talking about turning this into a TV show.
TV show, yeah. into a leader in that conversation of inclusivity and freedom and giving people permission to be who they are and not needing external sources of validation to deem them worthy of self-expression. Expression,
right.
But to own that voice of courage from within, where that act of bravery of being who you are actually changes the mindset of someone else. That's it. It's like we change the world by being who we're meant to be, even if that's strongly disliked and discouraged, right? But by stepping up, being ourselves, doing the thing, we like that's the medicine. So the more that people, your audience, Love Bomb listeners and beyond, like give themselves permission to have the courage to be free in how they love, who they love, the way they love, and normalize it for themselves, it's going to get normalized, right? Because it's through the act of witnessing that we realize it's not dangerous. No one's going
to
die.
Blessed to be a witness.
Yes. You got it. You got it. Ah, your tattoo. Fucking rocking. So the bigger picture of your life, I think you should stay on your path.
Yeah.
Keep up the meditation. Give yourself lots of grounding rituals in your life. Open up a tad more to receiving and intimate relationships. Hold space for your brother because he's going to pull out. I really, really, truly am holding that prayer. And
where does spirituality fit into all of this?
Well, your north node is in Pisces. So your north node is your fate. It's what your whole life's about. Pisces is all about oneness, unity, transcendence, egoless nature.
Egoless.
Yeah, this is the part of you, this is another part of you that loved the high.
Well, yeah.
Because there was nothing but connectivity, right? Yeah, it was like dissolving the function of the brain that differentiated I am this and they are that. It's like we're all one.
What's your take on ayahuasca work?
I've never done it.
Okay.
But I do think that I've seen people have miraculous experiences where they face their shadows.
I've ever done in my entire life. I like learned more about myself and the world in 2 weeks in Peru than I have in 28 years.
Yeah, I wanted to try.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you lead? Have you ever led?
No, but I'm going back at the end of this year to do more work.
So
December.
You know, you may be a voice around normalizing the spirit world in that way. And more importantly,
what do you mean by do I lead?
Like, have you ever been a leader of the ayahuasca ceremony?
Oh, no, not of an ayahuasca ceremony. Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised
if I was at some point.
Yeah. Like at some point, if you did that.
Well, I did a whole episode talking about it, trying to normalize it just by putting it into the universe. Right. So I think that was a step towards that direction.
You know, when I first started with astrology in 2001, it was this weird thing.
Yeah.
No one was into it.
Right.
You know, it's like I, you know, like hit it. And the more I became comfortable with it, like this is just this thing I do. It's no big deal, obviously, because it's no big deal. But I've also seen that there's a trend in people who are really interested in astrology even more and more very recently. And I personally attribute it to because we're all on green juice cleanses. Everyone's done ayahuasca. You know,
there's a shift happening.
There's a shift happening.
Yeah.
There's an elevation where we understand that there's a connectivity to the planets that's undeniable.
Right.
There's a vibrational frequency in which the planets talk to one another where we feel it because we're sensitive.
Yeah.
So I think to sensitize ourselves in that way is a beautiful thing. Like I said, I personally never felt like that was for me right now. Like never was like, this is what I'm doing, but I clearly have no judgments.
Yeah, for sure. What outside of the stars, what does love mean to you?
I think love is a way of being. I think love is trust. It's faith. I think that there's ranges of love. I think, you know, we just had Venus retrograde this year, in the last couple of months, and Venus has different sides. Well, part of her is her morning side, and part of her is her evening side. Like, she rises in the morning and she rises at night. And right now she's rising in the morning, so she's in her warrior side. And so that's a version of Venus, to be fierce and protective and to fight for what we love and fight for what we need to protect. That's a version of love. And then there's well-resourced Venus, which is like, I'm in my body and I'm doing my thing and I'm, you know, receiving and feeling nourished. So I use that as a metaphor because I think that love is a verb. You know, to love is a verb, and it's something we give, it's something we do, and I also think love is a noun. It's something we are, and it's something we receive, and that there's a time and place for all of it. I think that my love can drive me to do things that are assertive, you know, and firm, and I think my love can soften me like a baby and just, like, kind of puddle me in a way. And so for love to have nuance, and for love to just be love with a capital L is, I think, what I'm all about.
My God, that you literally could not have said anything better. That was so beautiful. Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure.
Oh, my God. How do people find you if anybody wants to have an incredible reading? How do we find you?
So I'm I have a website. It's my name. It's a little complicated to spell. So it's Jennifer, J-E-N-N-I-F-E-R. And then the last name's R-A-C-I-O-P-P-I. It's JenniferRaciopi.com. Or Instagram is my fun place right now. It's at Jen, J-E-N-N-R-A-C-I-O-P-P-I. Or you can search the hashtag Lunar Logic.
Lunar Logic.
Yep.
Wonderful. Thank you again.
My pleasure.
Oh, my God. I just love the work that you do. And I'm so appreciative.
Yeah. You'll have to keep me posted on what happens this summer and into the fall, because you are at one of those moments in your life where you're going to make some big decisions that shape the next 28 years.
Wow.
Yep.
Cool. I'll keep you in touch. Thanks, Jen.
Yep.
Red, white, and blue have proven to do and be and breathe. Just like me, these colors sometimes run and fall, and stars once tall, they cheat. With race wars and face wars, Republican, Democrat, and sex wars, gender wars and space wars, battles fought, won, duties, chores, unity. Remember, we're all in this bullshit, this full shit together, balls of energy. Freedom to create a new age, off straight, character based off my raw traits. Nico. Always a work in progress. This country, always a work in progress. The planets, always a work with starlets. Let it be said that I love my country, but just like me, sometimes the flag falls apart, and we must put the pieces back together. Faith in the eagles and bees, the elk man, the bobcat Carl, Mapacho, my spirit, my knees, my teachers with wings spread across my body to come to rescue me and reach and reach and preach. And catch and dive and survive and pollinate and teach these stars and stripes to get back home where they belong. Hopefully one day we look back at this time and laugh. Hopefully it won't be too long. May this day be a reminder that our forefathers, foremothers, my fathers, grandfathers, my mothers, grandmothers, my friends who act like fathers and mothers, my mother built this country and built me. All broken at times, but fuck, you're beautiful. And underneath it all, my heart is the most alive. I adore you. Happy motherfucking 4th of July, America. This is my Declaration of Independence.